about ready to get to the bottom of all of the nicety going on social media between guys that either are in or could be in the class of 2021 for Nebraska football. That's pandemic content that we need. And every Friday, we get our fix and our need with Brian Munson from Rivals Husker Online as he joins us from his home in the Big D. Brian, good Friday morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. About yourself?
Good. Things are moving right along in the state of Texas. You got a governor that says 25% capacity for sporting events. We're hearing summer activities could go on a little bit more when it comes to athletics in Texas. It seems like you're in a good spot right now.
Yeah, I thought so too. I thought that Greg Abbott released that statement. That's excellent news. And that's for open air, obviously, for venues. And then I believe, based on some of the workout folks that my son has been working out with, that they're starting back like with their off-season stuff on June 1st, which would be on Monday, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting going right away as well. And we talked to one of the coaches that was moving up to their high school. They're going to start being able to do some sort of formal type of instruction with their players, albeit virtual. So they're at least getting a virtual side Zoom type of instruction stuff that they can start doing. So absolutely, things are moving along. We have a Zoom call with UNK on Sunday night. I don't think the news is as positive there for us in the D2 world, mm-hmm. As far as how things are kind of coming back in, but we're still trying to figure out like what all the specifics are there, and we'll know a lot more after this weekend.
I think I'm seeing bits and pieces in some states that are a lot further along than others, that there are going to be some camps. Now, coaches can't be there like the old satellite camps, but there are going to be some prospect camps that are popping up around the country still this summer if you can do them in your area.
Mm-hmm. I think that that's going to be the key, right? There are some schools. Like Sean has done a great job in going out to East St. Louis so many different times and covering camps. You know, there's some camps that I think do bring in some dollars, and they do bring in some things that those high school guys, you know, need when it comes to that type of exposure or hosting the event or whatever that may be. So for a couple of these schools not to basically get that additional funding or through that secondary source, it puts things in jeopardy as things could kind of go along during the season. So I think that there are some states that are moving towards being able to kind of support that. Other states are kind of still have the brakes on fully. And I think that it's going to come down to, obviously, if there's some states closer to some guys that are in those states where they're saying, no, we're still not allowing those types of activities, you know, are they going to go ahead and be a benefit, obviously, mm-hmm. to get some guys that are going to be traveling over to neighboring states or what have you to kind of get some guys to travel in that they wouldn't be expecting otherwise. So it's going to be interesting to see which states open up to that and which kids are having to travel as a result to kind of go out there and get that exposure that they're looking for that you and I have talked about. Yeah. You know, it's kind of one of those lost things in the shuffle of all the things that are going on right now.
So for the third time in 2 months, the NCAA fixes their recruiting calendar and they've pushed it back through July. It essentially, now all the camps that Nebraska has utilized in the month of June, they're gone. Part of it is it does affect football, but it affects basketball more. But let's focus on the football side because July essentially is a dead period and towards the end of June. But how do you think why do you think the NCAA came to this decision right now to extend it through the month of July?
You know, I don't really have a great answer for that, except that maybe what they're trying to do is limit the amount of normalizing that, of course, these programs are having to do. I think Nebraska, number one, is ahead in that regard with welcoming, you know, the student athletes back onto campus and trying to figure out the programs in which to kind of stay within, you know, whether it's conference statute or NCAA statutes or state statutes. And all the mandates and how they're going to get guys through the workouts. Because you start talking about, obviously, voluntary workouts are beginning June 1st. So you're talking about a strength conditioning staff that can be there to advise, but not really supervise. Mm-hmm. But you're still talking about also a 50% capacity, you know, that you could be using still within that space. So it's limiting the numbers. And I think that when you start talking about putting those additional types of restrictions and having to have leadership that's there in an administrative role and not really a supervisor role, that are still at least watching those things, you're kind of spreading yourself a little bit too thin. And maybe that might have been the concern, is that you just don't want to keep adding these logs to this already incredible fire when it comes to the guardrails and what's needed to kind of keep things going to get the season going. And that's mm-hmm. really my thought, too, about what's going on with UNK, is that there's 85 guys or so that are coming back that are scholarship players. They've already got to figure out how to kind of keep those guys separated within the rules and the mandates and the laws. And then you wanted to maybe potentially inject an additional 30 from the class before. It's just a logistical nightmare. So maybe what they're trying to do is simplify for now, get things going in an order to make sure that the season is going to go on as expected and not put these guys at risk for injury, and make sure that they can kind of go about doing their jobs when September gets there.
So we've now gone, 11 weeks or so, and virtual recruiting has taken off, and I think we're all in lockstep that when we get back to some sense of normalcy when it comes to recruiting and you can have face-to-face and guys can visit campus, that we could have an abundance of decommits. But do you think there's a part that the NCAA feels, and you know from all of the giant recruiting budgets, as athletic departments say, hey, you got to tighten your budget, most programs are saying, I'm not going to touch my recruiting budget. But the NCAA looked at the success of virtual recruiting and they said, hey, this is working. We can save you money. And you can do it virtually because look at Minnesota, XXX school, they're doing it as well. Do you think that comes into play, and do you think that is an idea that will continue down the road?
I think it absolutely is going to come into play. So number one, people don't know by day, I work for a Fortune 500 company, and it's absolutely entering into our world and our equation. So I'll put that out there. So we've gone from traveling a lot, doing face-to-face meetings, to having to virtually kind of substitute what we were doing in face-to-face. And then you have a margin of error, or maybe not necessarily the same success rate in terms of the percentage, you know, of what you could get out of a face-to-face meeting. So kind of apply same concept over to the recruiting side. I think though, when you start doing from a straight meeting face-to-face with kind of trying to go out there and figure out what the scope is and working through the agenda, the difference when it comes to recruiting is the approach, I think, in which the coaching staffs are taking with more of a sales pitch to kind of go out there and hard sell a recruit versus, you know, maybe like what the more of you commit when the time is right for you and mm-hmm. make sure the right decision is there for you, like what Scott Frost and his staff have kind of gone and taken here. So the hard sell, which I'm going to go ahead and say, you know, like what maybe like more what a Minnesota is starting to do or been trying to do, versus what, you know, Nebraska is trying to do. So I think there is a balance. I think there's a balance here to where I think that the coaches and the NCAA need to go back and figure out how effective it was. And I think that obviously some of this stuff is going to come back around, like what you said also, with the decommitments that are going to come as a result. I think it's a good supplement, but I don't think that they can also kind of build around it to say, we can save you millions. I think that it can save some and temper the enthusiasm, because what you also don't want to have is a bunch of kids that are going out there committing early, flipping later, and causing chaos basically into the shorter signing date to the longer signing date in February.
All right. We are sitting here and we're trying to read into guys' social media. You know, people trying to figure out J.D. Spielman, I think it's a lost cause, trying to figure out what he's doing on a day-to-day basis. But let's try and figure out what guys that are either in the class of 2021 are doing on social media, or players that are coveted in 2021. You know all about peer recruiting. What's your reaction to the interaction between a lot of these guys that it went from, okay, I got to pick up fishing, to last night it became, okay, I can dunk. Let's have a dunk contest virtually.
I'm going to go ahead and start out in saying that I think that Heinrich knew he was outgunned for the fertile fishing grounds because, I mean, he quickly went from, I need to go ahead and start showing what I can do in the fishing, you know, and pulling stuff out of the water. And then Nash comes back and starts showing these amazing paddlefish, like, get out of town. Yeah. And then he turns around. And you know, Heinrich was a basketball player up until last year. And then they basically was told, we're not going to run an offense or be able to use a guy like you in the offense that we want to run. So therefore, go ahead and start getting ready for track and football and do your thing over there. And we're going to go do our thing over here. But athletically, I mean, clearly, he's got some game over there. But then Fidelin comes in and says, oh, yeah. And Lutowski comes through and says, oh, yeah, well, look what we can do as well. I think the peer recruiting is alive and well, number one. And I think that that's good news for Nebraska fans, because I have been trying to branch out a little bit more to figure out what other tight ends are kind of out there for Nebraska that are really, really being recruited by Nebraska. I think things have been stepped up in when it comes to the other schools that are reaching out to the dome, like LSU, like Notre Dame, Michigan, Alabama. Those teams are all very, very, very much in it and still recruiting him incredibly hard. And I do feel like Nebraska still has the leader here, because I think it's going to come down to comfort level. I think it's going to come down to where he feels the most at home, where he feels like he's going to absolutely fit in. And I think that there's, you know, three or four guys at least that are doing some peer recruiting to kind of get him in. But a Marcus Embo has been part of that equation as well when it comes to his fishing in the northern pike that he's been pulling out. And he's also revealed to me on a virtual recruiting trip that he took to Nebraska that one of the biggest things that he was very interested in was that if he could be roommates with Teddy and Henry. And so that's three potential linemen in the 2021 class that are already kind of making a plan to kind of room together. Now, Embo is going to take his time. He's upset that basically the pandemic is impacting him to where he can't take these additional trips right now. But he is obviously, I think, a very heavy Nebraska lean, and I think Nebraska is looking for a fourth guy to kind of get into that class to go along with him. And I think from a chemistry perspective, from a gel perspective, he seems to make a lot of sense when it comes to grabbing a guy like that.
Do you have a... And now that things have been pushed back through July, there's a season 99 days from now. How official visits will be structured, how it'll look like for coaches to travel. Do you have a timeline on those two guys when you think they might get to that point where it's time to call the coaches and tell them I'm in?
Well, with Embo, I mean, obviously it's not the same window as like what a Fidelin has, right? Because three guys in the class already for Nebraska when it comes to offensive tackles. I think you and I, if we sat here and really thought about the offensive line recruits, you know, you start out with Amaro, but you have to talk about Tyler Morrow from Davenport, Iowa, who got an offer from Nebraska a couple 3 weeks ago. Bryson Estes from Georgia. He's got Nebraska very high on his list. Geno Vandermark from New Jersey, who's probably the last remaining Rivals, you know, 250 guy that's kind of out there that Nebraska has a really strong chance with. I don't think that he's as close or as strong looking at Nebraska as strongly as what like an Estes would be. I would say Embo is probably the most realistic guy. I think Morrow is a guy that could also play defensive end for Nebraska, so he's going to get looked at to play both positions and probably remains a target even if an Embo or an Estes steps up and says, I want the last spot there. But like for tight end position, Nebraska is going to completely flip that room over the next 2 years. They got four guys that basically are either seniors or juniors. So I think when you start talking about the what it looks like on their list, when you start talking about Fidel, Gunnar Helm, Eric Olson, A.J. Rollins right there in Omaha, I can see Nebraska, you know, taking two guys, and if a Rollins is part of those two, and a Gunnar Helm or an Eric Olson wanted to kind of be a third come-along guy, I don't think that Nebraska would turn them away, because I just think that that room is going to look completely and totally different come 2021-2022. So tight end is going to be a really, really, really interesting position to watch, not just because of Fidone, but just because of the numbers, I think, that are going to be there in the class.
Hey, we talked about recruiting momentum. You get one guy, and he's kind of your pivot guy. People know him. They're like, whoa, he's a good player. If he's going there, I want to join him. Do you believe do you believe also in momentum of teams in particular areas or states? Like, we know Nebraska's had some success in South Florida. They've had some success in the Atlanta area. Once you get one, you get another. Because I'm looking through Big Ten recruiting classes where they are. Minnesota's ability to go into Illinois is kind of interesting because they have six of the top 17 players in that state. Some guys that you wouldn't expect that would go to Minnesota, but it almost seems like they got one, so they got the other. Is that, do you believe in that? And if that's the case, is there another, is there a place that Nebraska may, you know, there might be a target where we see a little momentum like that over the next year or the next 2 years? And if you're gauging some of their offers they've made?
I think there's absolutely a lot to be said about having kind of a pipeline into a state, an area, a market, to where Nebraska can go in there and have success. They were able to do it in South Florida last year to kind of finish out the class. I think what's interesting is the way that things still look, even though I think some guys have come off the board that Nebraska had wanted, I think that the state of Iowa still is a huge battleground for Nebraska this year. You know, we're talking about Litovsky already being in the class. You still got, we talked about Fedone. You've got TJ Bowlers that's over there. You got Seth Malcolm, who's over there, that's an inside linebacker recruit. I think that if Nebraska had a chance to grab those three guys, I think that despite the fact that both Iowa State and Iowa had done a very, very good job so far of getting the guys locked down that were from that group, the 2021 class in general for that state, it's pretty impressive. And I think that they would both treat it as kind of a loss if you start talking about Bowlers and Fedone leading the state number one, because those are their rivals 100 guys. And I think Seth Malcolm is a guy that, to me, I think that he could kind of round out that group for inside linebackers and make Nebraska very, very, very happy with what they got there with Kapai and Paul already. I think he's a guy that gets a little bit overlooked in the landscape because he is a really athletic, long inside linebacker potentially that could end up leaving the state as well from Iowa. So I think Iowa is an interesting state. I think Florida is always going to be an interesting state. I think Nebraska is going to be very, very active and can see themselves being like the Malik Williams, who's a defensive back. I love what Nebraska is doing there with Gabe Irvin, who's from the same town, basically, as Williams. They're both from Buford, Georgia. Watch Gabe Irvin's film as a running back. I mean, he's pretty much elevated himself on my board, at least, anyway, to be one of the guys that you hope kind of finds his way into the class. So I think Georgia, Florida, Iowa. And I hope that Nebraska is feeling that also if they can get a Jalen Noel out of Kansas City, Missouri, maybe they can start to swing the Show-Me State a little bit more in their favor as well.
So he's a guy that is mentioned a lot and in Nebraska and Iowa State. You have a timetable on when he might decide?
I think it's close. I think we're talking, you know, that we could see something out of Jalen here in the next couple weeks. And I think Nebraska's a leader. It's coming. And you and I talked about it. Sneaky Iowa State. Yeah. Given Nebraska some fits on the recruiting trail, and I know that for Nebraska fans, they're probably, you know, going, oh, I cannot believe that the Cyclones are doing this, but they are. They're doing a great job when it comes to recruiting. I think it could be in the next couple weeks. I think it's coming down to Iowa State, Nebraska, and I'm still giving Nebraska the edge when it comes to Jalen.
We'll get you out here on this. So we know that there's nothing going on face-to-face on campuses through July. Schools are moving up their start dates, so you could have schools starting in the middle of August, and less than a month later, you could have football, knock on wood. And just because school has started doesn't prevent coaches from going off campus. That happens all the time. But what do you envision if there's the ability to have official visits? Is this going to be, and Nebraska goes, you know, the first month of the year, they are at home, starting with Purdue on September 5th, ending with Cincinnati. So you got a conference game and you got a high-profile non-conference game if the schedule remains the same. Do you expect across the country this battle to begin where you're pulling prospects by both arms and it's a tug-of-war between schools to try and get them on your campus early, or would you rather have them on a little bit later on an official visit?
Boy, That is a great question. I think that what these schools are going to be hoping for is going to be, what I'd be shooting for is early. Here's why.
Okay.
I know what you're kind of maybe setting up here that with the decommitments and maybe what we're going to end up still seeing with the indecision around the earlier signing date. What I'm looking at here is maybe a second wave. And if you get a second wave of the virus, and it's going to be, the timetable is going to be in that 10th month, in the month of October, you may only get two, three weekends, maybe tops in the month of September before maybe we're talking again about some sort of a shelter in place and restrictions around what's going to come along with that. And how is that going to impact then the rest of the calendar? I think these schools are going to have to be aggressive. They're going to have to be aggressive and get who they can get, when they can get them in the month of September. And then from there on out, if it plays out the way that it's played so far with the month of May and into June, when it comes to virtual visits, then so be it. They're perfecting that craft, but they may only have a small window before potentially that thing comes back around again and impacts all of our lives.
So you're going to have more kids that'll probably grab a spot quicker.
That too. I mean, but I want guys that are high up on my board, and I want guys that are on a shortened timetable. A Marcus Embo absolutely fits both of those equations. He could be the last guy that I want in the class for the offensive lineman, and after he sees me, he could just say, that's where I want to go. And those are the kind of guys I want to get in, but I also want to get the guys on the higher of my board, because if they come down to it and they say they're only going to take one or two visits in person and everything else is virtual, I want them to go back and say, man, that Nebraska visit was disruptive. It so did not compare to the other ones I took because it was so much better. And that's what I want those kids to leave with the idea that, say, Nebraska is so much better than the other visit I took, therefore that's where I'm going to end up going because I couldn't do anything else about it with the situation.
Wow, this is going to be wild. I mean, that's
very interesting.
Yeah, you guys, Husker Online, are going to be really, really busy, but this is across college football. I mean, unprecedented. You know, the organization and what's going to happen to try and secure guys or when guys flip. Wow. Get ready for the fall. I hope we have a full season and everything goes well. But it will not be not be normal when it comes to recruiting. That's for sure. Brian, we always appreciate your time. Have a safe weekend with the family, and we'll talk next week and maybe be closer to maybe an addition or two in the class.
That sounds great. Be good.
That's Brian Munson. That's great stuff. Joins us every Friday. Brian, along with everybody else at Husker Online, covering recruiting and Husker football. Good stuff up today on Husker Online. We'll see if say 99 days from now, Nebraska kicks off against Purdue and you have the ability to have in-person visits, which, how comfortable will the NCAA feel about that? How comfortable will families feel about that? How will the travel, there's a lot of questions that don't know 99 days from now. But if you're thinking our window to get official visits and our battle to lock them in with our prospects is going to be tight, you're starting with a conference game. You're starting with the season. Football's back. How busy will you be on that opening weekend? And at the end of the month, when Cincinnati comes in here, is a high-profile non-conference game in college football. All good questions to be able to ask. We hope we have some answers for them. We have answers to one of the craziest stories that our next guest wrote about on Bleacher Report. Do you remember the name Esteban Loaiza? He was kind of a journeyman pitcher, had a really good year, was it 03 with the Chicago White Sox? But he was a guy that had a rubber arm. He's also a guy that is in jail right now. And how he went from the mound to sitting on a bunk in a federal prison, Scott Miller has told a fascinating story that he will share with all of you. And then we'll try and figure out, as the question gets asked every day I walk into this building, is there going to be a baseball season? I continue to say yes. It's a little rocky getting there. Does Scott feel the same way? Plus, what will minor league baseball look like moving forward? Truncated draft, no minor league season, players being released, a commissioner who would like to have a cheaper minor league system. Things are going to look a lot different in baseball over the next 5 years. Scott Miller from Bleacher Report joining us next. Brian Christopherson coming up at 12:15 on this Friday edition of the Gary Sharp Show with George on 1620 The Zone. Local businesses, they are open this weekend. The weather is great. Want to get out? Want to take advantage of these great partners of ours, really great partners in our community, local businesses that are there for you. They were there for you before, during, and they will be there for you after. Places that you know about, places that you frequent, places that are doing us a solid, we ask that you do as well. Places that are open, like Fashion Trend.